Cation, Laurie Kilmartin. Jackie Cation, Laurie Kilmartin. It's the Jackie and Laurie Show. The Jackie and Laurie Show. It's the Jackie and Laurie Show. The Jackie and Laurie Show.
All right.
All right. Here we
I think I have my contacts out, but I think I'm just going to squint at you because the ring reflection is ridiculous on my glasses.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you could. It's so bad when you can see it. Like, look, hello. Hi. Yeah. Anyway, so somebody direct messaged me during the show that I just did.
Yeah.
And to tell me that they could see my glasses. And I was like, I don't need to know that, but okay. And then, so then I moved the ring a little bit higher and hopefully the lighting's still good. And it is, this is good lighting. It's perfectly good lighting.
Sure. But like during your set?
Uh-huh. Oh, no.
In the chat? I think it was
in the chat, but it was during somebody else's set. You know, I was hosting, so.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So it was all okay. Right. And we just came from doing a show.
That was fun.
That was a pretty fun show. You super, super short set. I meant to tell you that there were a bunch of new people.
What?
I meant to tell you there was a bunch of new people.
Oh, well, all right. You know, maybe they can come to our next Jackie and Laurie show then. How come there's new people? Because we have new comics?
No, there were some new comics, but there was also, this was this last weekend was the weekend I was supposed to do my album.
Yeah.
So Brandon from Acme emailed me and he said, is there anything we could plug? Because you were supposed to be here. And I was like, no, here's a couple of clips you can use for your Instagram. And then I said, if you want, you can send, because they have an insider, like an email list.
Yeah.
I said, you could send your insider, those people, a link to the show if they ask.
That's nice.
And so I think there were like 20, 25 people from Acme.
Yeah, you had a great turnout, like 60 or 70?
70? Yeah. It was kind of amazing.
How many did we have on our Jackie and Laurie show? We had over
220. 220.
What? 220. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty sweet.
That's respectable, as the kids, as no one would say.
Yeah.
But yeah.
So there's five of us, half goes to Flappers, and then we split the one fifth of the remainder.
Right. The other half we split among the comics, us being two of the comics.
Yeah. So
and it's super even. So it was pretty a payday. Not bad.
Yeah. When Maria and Melissa Villasenor, when we have like famous people on a Jackie and Laurie show, everyone gets a little bit of a bump.
Yeah. Yeah. The people who were on who weren't famous get a bump. I know I asked a bunch of people. I don't even know if she's ever been a comic of the week. I don't think that Maria's ever been one because we didn't think she needed the bump.
Right.
But I asked Aisha Tyler if she wanted to do it. Nice. And she said that she wasn't doing Zoom shows and I think I might have told you this is that she was directing a movie in Texas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah. It's really cool.
Yeah.
She's a really good comic and she has so many irons in the fire. Oftentimes she spends months not doing it.
Was she co-hosting something like a talk show, like one of the
like a View,
shows?
But the talk or the chew
the
or
chat,
the
chat or the chew or gab.
She was on the Dork Forest. Probably it would have been like 6 or 8 years ago. And
yeah.
I said, what have you been doing since Friends? And it turns out she was on Archer.
Yeah.
Oh, I found a new manga for your young man.
Let me, we stopped by your house to pick up a speaker and we had just, I don't know how he spun this. I mean, he's very manipulative, but he got mad at me because he didn't do a chore in time.
Okay.
Like I just like around 11 in the morning, I'm like, hey, can you empty the dishwasher? Thinking it'd be like a 2-hour window and at 6 p.m. it wasn't emptied. So I emptied it. And then I walked into the garage and I said, hey, I just did your chore. And he got mad. He's like, I was just about to do it. Like, you fucking liar. So then I made him get in the car and come with me to your house. And then I was like, do I want to be mad about this? And I just didn't feel like being mad. Mm-hmm. So instead we just kept driving. I didn't tell him where we were going. And then we ended up at Candy Cane Lane, which was this incredibly disappointing neighborhood of houses that allegedly go all out on the lights. And about half of them did. Half of them are dark, which I totally appreciate. And the lights weren't that exciting. You know, some of them just had a string of those big outside lights around the roof. Like my dad did that.
Like less than us? Like we had lights, and then we also had Snoopy, and then we had some lights on the ground, and we
got Snoopy.
And then we got the lamp thing that projects on the side of the wall.
Yeah. No, you have a lot going on. Happy holidays. And the traffic was ridiculous. And there was kids popping out of sunroofs and stuff like that. So anyway, I just sort of, I just decided not to bring it up again. And instead we went to go see Christmas lights.
Oh, fair enough. So Andy said to me, Christmas secret, I got something planned. And I, for some reason, went into panic mode. Like I didn't know he was going to throw me into a volcano or something. I don't know why that would be a Christmas secret. The last Christmas secret he did, the last secret thing that he planned and said it was a surprise. I hate surprises, I think is what it is. I don't want to be any part of a surprise.
Right.
Except for that he's never done a bad surprise. The last one he did was this amazing horse show. It was a horse circus. Out called Cavalier. Yeah. Have you been?
My family talk about it every time we drive past because we're just like, what an insane thing that there's just horse ballet in a giant tent in Southern California all the time.
It's all the time. It's every 3 years. And you've lived here your entire life.
I sure have.
And it's amazing. It's amazing horse tricks, and it was awesome. It was the dorkiest, coolest horse thing ever.
That event is what Mitt Romney's horse was doing in the 2016 Olympics.
Dressage.
Yeah.
Dressage. I think more circusy than that, but because they were all Cirque du Soleil trained people. On top,
they sound like retired Olympians trying to make a living.
It's
very, very possible. Very possible. So this time he took me to Six Flags.
Oh yeah,
for the Holiday in the Park drive, which is nice, which was expensive. I found out afterwards he didn't, you know, go. And this is the money. No, he didn't do that. But he was like, and he also signed us up to get fudge. I don't particularly like fudge. I mean, fudge is fudge, but it was actually really good fudge in the world of, I mean, Six Flags should make good fudge. But so we drove through and the lights were amazing.
Maybe I'll do that.
What?
Because my kid will definitely not do another chore sometime this week. And maybe I'll.
And you want to cheer yourself up. So you'd be like, let's go spend $75 on.
I'm the only one who gives a shit about Christmas around here. It's just me and him, and he's like, oh, this is lame. So it's kind of depressing.
Yeah, not cool. Not cool.
I just farted. Did you hear that?
No.
Nope.
Okay, dang it.
Do you want to hold it closer? Because I didn't know you did physical comedy.
I think I got it all out.
Lori does physical comedy. anyway, so... so it was really fun, but there was a snow globe that said, happy holiday Honda days, which was a classic kind of Six Flags skid ball thing to do.
Well, I mean, they're hurting. They got to get all the sponsorship money they can. I mean, of all people, you and I can understand them needing sponsor money.
Well, and the fact that they opened this thing up for driving, you know, drive through, like they took all the walkways and just you could take your car, drive through,
and
look at all the, and a lot of it was super cool. It was actually really cool. You would like it. I don't
know. Yeah, I think so. Like it,
but fuck him. Mm-hmm. Make him go. It'll be.
Oh, I will. I will. That'll be my punishment. I don't want to have, you know, people storming to their bedrooms. I just don't want that in my. It wasn't fun when I was growing up and made me tense. Like, I don't want that here, you know?
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's hard enough.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm with you. So, but yeah, your new joke was good. I like that.
Which one? The aorta thing?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, there's something there.
There's totally something there. And I got a couple emails from people asking why you didn't do a longer set. They're like, oh, I've been wanting to see. And I was like, you know, she did 15 on Monday. You might have wanted to have stopped.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, they're little guesties on your thing. That's a different thing. And also other people had done long and it was already 8 o'clock or something. So yeah. And I assumed everyone had seen me before on, you know, either art shows or whatever. So
yeah. And I have been giving out kind of a lot of guest sets ever since the album is postponed. I'm like, well, then I'm just going to work on it in 20, 30 minute chunks.
Dude, you came up with a Zoom model that you almost were able to execute, which is really great. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, you keep having these Sunday shows. What's the smallest cry you've had on Sunday?
Probably 18, 20.
That's fine. And I've been on a ton of Zoom shows that have that or less, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And it feels okay. You know, if it's 18 or 20 people, quite honestly, then I get to hang out more with them. Then it's more of a social thing.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, I'm going to run these jokes. People are going to run jokes. But I did also get a couple more requests to be on the show. And I'm like, I got a list. I'll get you on. And
I don't like to be greedy. I like to leave them wanting more, Jacqueline.
That's it. That's it. You were doing it right. I have Melanie Truitt has booked me for some there's like a new kind of Rush Ticks thing that she's working with. So it'll pay, and it's just a 10-minute set, and it pays okay.
Okay.
It's nothing fancy, but it's sort of like a one-nighter pay.
Is she Brian Posehn's wife?
Yeah. She was my manager for about 10 years.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And we mutually got mad one day and called it. And afterwards I realized she had been doing as much as she could, and I still like her a lot. Mm-hmm. And I think she still thinks I'm funny. But, you know, it just sort of, sometimes you just move on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she's really funny and nice, and he's nice, and they're all very good. So anyway, so I'm doing that.
I don't think I know her. I mean, I know Brian, but I don't know her.
Oh yeah.
No, she was whatever she was doing in LA, where she was out and around. I wasn't living here. So there's a whole bunch of LA alts, that scene that I never, you know, got super friendly with.
Yeah,
that you're friends with.
Yes. Yes. And then I think, God dang it, I've spaced his name. I'm doing the Nowhere Club on Saturday.
Hofstetter?
It's not Hofstetter. It's not any of the triumvirate. It is.
Wait, who's the triumvirate? Hofstetter, Glebe.
And it's Steve Hofstetter, Glebe, and God dang it. Spaced it.
Jesus? And Jesus should always be part of a triumvirate, especially around Christmas.
Triumvirate. He is. He has a tight five, as I think we know. but what I think is funny is that I can't remember. It's Don. It might be Don. He's one of the PowerPoint guys.
Oh, Don McMillan.
Yeah. He probably doesn't want to be described as that.
I've known Don since forever. He was a couple years ahead of me, but he's a Bay Area guy.
Okay.
Yeah. He was like, God, he would just crush at Roosters because it's in Sunnyvale, and he had just a shitload of like engineering and programming jokes. And it was, you know, now that area's real, it's a different type of nerd.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, this was like Wozniak nerds, you know, like building your own computer in the garage nerds, and McMillan would like kill with them. Now it's app nerds, you know?
Right. And he is, so this is a nerd show that I'm doing with him because I might be a nerd. And yeah, so Don McMillan, it'll be super fun.
Yeah.
And What are you doing this week?
I have not. I am. First of all, I'm so tired. Yeah. I am counting on you to prop me up through this podcast.
Okay. So you.
But are you getting paid a flat fee or is it a percentage of the audience?
I think it's flat. Mm-hmm. I think Don's making. Hopefully Don and Nowhere are making good money. And then he's just paying me because, again, I think I'm just doing 10 or 15.
Oh, I see. Right.
Yeah.
It's like his show.
Yeah, it's his show. It's not mine. And I saw Kira is doing a show, but I think it was a group one as well. Mm-hmm. And yeah.
Wow, I wish I did comedy. That'd be neat to have me on one of those shows. Too bad I'm not a stand-up.
Too bad you don't do stand-up anymore.
Yeah.
You should probably get on some of these stand-up shows.
I know.
That people are putting up. You could probably do a flapper 6 nights a week.
I know. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. But you want to mix it up a little bit, you know? Because I feel like the flapper's crew has seen every single joke and they want to shoot themselves.
Did you see that Jakubowicz, right, Brian, used to run Paper Heroes?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So he posted old posters from a year ago.
Yeah.
And talking about how he misses the show. He should do a Zoom show where he hosts.
Oh, yeah. Could he get, is Paper Heroes still open?
Paper Heroes is still open. Yeah.
I mean,
they're not doing gaming. Yeah. They're still in business. What they are, because remember they had that big area for people to do games and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
They're just selling games. They're like, hey, it's Christmas. Freaking come buy something. God.
And, it's just awful. Maybe they could do a show where Brian hosts from the venue and then everyone else kind of logs in from their Zoom.
Oh, that's cool. You know, he's working there.
Yeah. When I do yoga, Zoom yoga, the yoga teacher is at the yoga studio and she's just by herself. And then everyone else just, you know, comes in from their house. I don't know. It's something a little different to look at besides the background you've chosen for Zoom.
Right. Did you notice that, did you get to see or watch or hear any of Judah's set? Tonight.
Yeah,
that was super fun. I admit to being a little nervous about crowd work, but he does. It's sort of organic, like he's doing that thing where he works the bits into it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And but he's also, you know, because on Zoom you can call out names. That is one of the fun things about Zoom is that you could say, "Hey, Nick, you're right there. Look at you."
Yeah.
And
I'm going to say the only fun thing about Zoom.
Fair enough. It can be, some shows are better than others. These Sunday ones are pretty sweet just because I have complete and utter control over them.
Oh, it's nice.
And I am such a control freak. I'm like, yeah, no, I need to. But I make all the comics co-hosts because it's easier to find them.
Yeah.
And then if they want to record, they can also record their sets. So,
yeah, that's nice. Bill Gates says we're not going to be back to normal till 2022. And he said the next 4 to 6 months are going to be horrific.
Yeah. Well, I was looking up numbers and and we are of course discussing the national problem of the global problem of the pandemic.
Herpes. It's herpes. It's everyone has it, right? Not just me.
Everyone has it. It's not just you. It's not just me. It's hemorrhoids. Anyway, so I looked up from the pandemic, the influenza pandemic in 1918 to 1920.
Yeah.
There were 100 million people in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And it lasted from 1918 to 1920. It lasted for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
People would not wear masks.
Right.
Even though they were told to wear masks.
Right.
And 700,000 people died out of 100 million.
Right.
There are now
right,
300 right. million people.
Jesus.
Which means that it very easily could be 2 million people die. If we're playing the math game.
Yeah, I think people were even more anti-mask back then than they are now. Mm-hmm. Although that's hard to believe because there's such a strong and loud contingency that hates masks. But I think we're doing better now than we were back then, mask-wise, right?
I think there's some progress for sure.
Mask technology is a lot better. They were just wearing cloth last time, which didn't help as much as the blue, like threefold. I don't know how to describe it, but the classic sort of surgery masks that actually block a lot.
Masks had just been invented. Like the guy that discovered the germ, like his whole thing where you should wash your hands and doctors and surgeons before you start fiddling around inside of
people. Is that Louis Pasteur?
No. It wasn't. It was,
what the hell was it? It was Jim Germ, right?
Jim Germ.
Very famous.
That was it. Very yes. famous. He was Larry Germ's son. You remember.
Havenhurst germs. Yeah. Yes, for sure.
But it was, so it was like 1870s, 1880s.
Right.
This germ guy was like, seriously, you should sterilize things and you should wash a lot. Previously, people are like, yeah, you have a bullet in you. Let me dig it out with my dirty fingers and make it even worse.
Right.
And everyone died of a fever. Mm-hmm. So it was the worst. But I do think, I know that we've progressed for sure. It's there's always a friend of mine who lives in rural Ireland was talking about how they haven't had any cases
in that part of Ireland.
In that part. She lives in
where? Do you know?
Kilkenny.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And it's gorgeous. It's very pretty.
Yes, I drove through there with my son.
And she said that they don't wear masks because they don't have to. But they did decimate the tourist industry this year.
Yeah.
And no one cared. Everyone was fine. We'll just make the garden bigger.
I'm sure people care, Jackie. I am pretty sure they care.
Maureen told me that they didn't. But maybe Maureen didn't care.
Maybe Maureen doesn't like the people that make pottery and,
she makes
Wexford crystals.
What? No, she has a lot of found jobs. Her jobs are crazy. Like she makes soap and sells it.
Huh.
That's the correct response. But there's also
doesn't seem like a huge moneymaker.
Well, it is if there's a lot of tourists who are like, I want Irish soap.
Sure, Irish spring, right? Oh yes.
Some damn thing. And then she also does like two other things. And and then there's some sort of spa, like Richie Rich shows up there and does yoga or throws bones of the moon and looks for druids or some fucking thing. And she was cooking at that spa retreat for a half a decade or something.
Oh, okay.
So it sounds like it would have hurt her a lot, actually.
Fine.
Yeah. Like all of her jobs seem to be that job, but she also lives a very frugal life. And she has a garden. And so I think it's okay. And the state, the government, I think spotted everybody.
Yeah, their government did a good job.
Yeah.
I just can't believe people are expected to pay rent. And the yoga place in Harlem on 145th closed because they wanted full rent for like the last, 8 months. You know, they've been closed. Ridiculous. Awful.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. My niece is working. She's been deployed with the National Guard.
Wow.
Now it's been extended till March. And she had COVID a month ago.
Wow.
And she just had the minors and now she's over it. But so she's back and she works in the ICU and helps test people in her uniform,
told me this. Yeah.
Right. And, but she sent me a picture and I put it on Instagram. It's a place to hang your masks, but it says don ye now your plague apparel.
Yeah.
Oh man.
And she said, I see you. They're desperate for laughs.
That is some National Guard humor right there.
That is some hospital humor is what it sounds like. It sounds like some real hospital nurse dark shit. So,
well, I don't know. Comics are getting COVID, you know?
Ellen got it.
She had a live studio audience. It wasn't obviously as dense as it was before, but she had people in there,
Every day, 5 days a week, like 30 people.
I don't know if she shoots every day. I'm not really sure her shooting schedule. It could be that. Yeah, I'm not really sure. But
right, you don't know offhand. But I know that. Yeah, you're right. I think they used to shoot several episodes a day, right?
Yeah.
That'd be terrible. That'd be even worse.
Yeah, I just don't know what. Like, all you need is one person breathing. It really mm-hmm. just takes one person to continue to breathe for an hour in a space to mm-hmm. infect a whole bunch of people.
Right.
Why don't people know that?
So when I drove by your house the other day, because I dropped off half of the speaker system.
And then yeah, I thought that was the whole thing. I was like, yeah, I could store this. And then you're like, oh, there's something the size of your car that you also have to come get.
I know, it's the giant thing. But the long thing is the other part of the speaker. The smaller one is actually, I think, just a mic stand.
Okay.
Just a real mic
stand. I haven't opened any of them. It's just three boxes.
Yeah, it's unnecessary to open them until April.
Right.
When I think maybe we could do a live show.
Yeah.
In your backyard. Mm-hmm. But
it'll be cleaned up by then.
But I like your backyard. Mm-hmm. It's oh good.
Hey, easy.
I thought you were talking about something else. Okay. Anyway, so but what I have to say is I've forgotten now. Was going to be a good guy. Aren't you so glad?
Getting COVID, Ellen, uh-huh. Speakers, when you dropped off something.
I saw the sign that said concede loser. Did someone return it or did you make a new one?
I made a new one and I had to put a lock on my gate so no one could hop over and grab it. But I made a new one and then it blew over in the wind and I was like, those motherfuckers. And I saw it. I saw it on the ground. I'm like, okay.
Got windy the other day. It was really windy the other day. Everyone knew that though. Mm-hmm. Cause everyone knows it's windy, Lori.
How much time? This is like old school.
26 minutes. This is truly original recipe Jackie and Lori show right now. Like,
it is so
I was even
brutal.
Putting off a commercial break. Like, we really gotta
yeah, let's
this.
Do one.
Let's do it.
Oh, good.
Listen, I'm a hotshot Hollywood movie producer. You have until I finish my glass of kombucha to pitch me your idea. Go.
All right, it's called Who Shot Ya? A movie podcast that isn't just a bunch of straight white dudes. I'm Iffy Whiteyway, the new host of the show and a certified BBN.
BBN?
Buff black nerd.
I'm Alonzo Duraldi, an elderly gay and legit film critic who wrote a book on Christmas movies.
I'm Drea Clark, a loud white lady from Minnesota.
Each week, we talk about a new movie in theaters and all the important issues going on in the film industry.
It's like Guess Who's Coming to Dinner meets Cruising.
And if it helps seal the deal, I can flex my muscles while we record each episode.
I'm sorry, this is a podcast? I'm a movie producer. How did you get in here?
Iffy, quick, start flexing.
Bicep, lats, chest. Who Shot Ya? Dropping every Friday on MaximumFun.org or wherever you listen to podcasts.
And then let's early do the comic of the week.
Sure, let's do it early.
Yeah, let's do it early and then try to find something to talk about.
Okay.
I have this to say. Madison Shepard should have been a comic of the week a year ago.
Oh, my God.
The first time I thought of her being a comic of the week.
Maybe we did a different Madison and I put Madison Shepard in the Madison category.
Oh, yeah, there you go. Because she did a set. She did a guestie on my Sunday and she was so funny. And then,
she's hilarious. She just booked a role on a new show with Ali Sheedy.
Neat.
Oh, fun.
Yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm. But Madison Shepard is very funny.
Are you okay?
Madison Shepard.
Jackie, are you okay?
I'm okay. I literally was mixing up Ali Sheedy. And you don't want to know. a male actor by the name of Corey, who was the Looney's son in Stand By Me.
That doesn't make any sense at all.
Hence the depth and breadth of the silence that I created over the internet on this program. Because that is, it doesn't make any sense.
Which is the opposite sound that you'd hear in a room where Madison Shepard is performing, which would be thunderous with laughter.
Nice segue.
Kyle, bring us back.
He's like, let me take the wheel for a second. Back on track. Madison Shepard. And
I'm trying to look
handle.
Up the name of the show. It's called Single Drunk Female.
Okay. And I think she has a podcast with Danielle Perez too right now. No, maybe not. I don't know. But Madison Shepard's very funny, and you should find her. And she has a Twitter handle and an Instagram, and her life is complete once she's gotten this half-assed bump where we all tell you 1,000 times how funny she is, but prove it by not being funny ourselves.
She flew first class. That's last week she flew first class, and this week she gets a comic of the week on what might be our worst podcast that we've ever done together. So congrats right. to Madison. It's been quite a week.
I think Kyle's about to create breakout rooms so that we can just be alone.
This is exactly what I want.
So I'm going to grab my notebook because that's what I used to do when yes. we sat in that room.
Right.
And I didn't know what to talk about. I would grab my notebook and then open it. And then remember that I didn't do all of the insects on my murder hornet joke. I had
How many do you have?
I have, I think, 8. And I only want to do like 5, right?
You Yeah, don't be greedy, Jackie.
Well, and it goes on too long if I do 8. But I want to try all 8 initially, or try all of them initially, and see which ones hit best.
You know, it could be that, I mean, you don't like to do this, but it could be that thing where it goes on too long and then it gets funny again. But you yeah. have to have the 3 minutes in between where people get angry at you for continuing.
Yeah. I never did like Andy Kaufman.
Do you ever watch Zoe? She has the Instagram show.
Mm-mm.
Okay. So I haven't seen her do stand up ever, but I think Vulture, whatever, did an article on her and was saying that she used to do stuff like that, where she would sing a song that would anger people. And then I was like, I would love to see that if I'd already gone up. If I was next, I would be fucking enraged. You know,
yeah.
I don't mind that when I'm done, but if I have to follow that, I'm really upset because the audience gets all, some people can't stand it. And then they love it so much. They don't want to see anything else for the rest of their lives. They're like,
right. Right. The people who are like,
murder hornet insects. What?
Yeah. Yeah. First of all, I'm not doing it in the murder hornet bit.
Okay.
Because, I did one other joke that was all listy like that. And it was the Indian, the Indian casino, Native American, food thing.
And, right.
And that was a list, and it was a good list. And it,
yeah, it was, I don't remember it, but I do remember it was a good list. Lists are tough.
Lists are tough. Some people love a list. Foley loves a list. Aaron Foley.
It's tough because the audience knows what's coming. They don't yeah. know what exactly the words are, but they know the next thing because you're, you know, they know right. bullet points. They understand it. So you lose the element of surprise. So right. that puts a lot more pressure on your item in the list. That's
right. All. Oh, entirely. It's a, yeah. So, and I don't know, like the last thing on the fucking list so far, it just turns into like, eventually if I do so many insect puns in a row, I sound like someone's dad.
You know, that's true.
It's just like,
but Jackie, aren't you someone's dad? I mean, isn't that what this is all leading up to?
This is all leading up to me becoming the father of 3. Yes.
You're becoming your own father. You're turning right. into Elliot. You're slowly absorbing his personality so that it lives on.
You know that I was watching your square. That's right. While I was doing my set at some point, like I could, mm-hmm. there are some people, a lot of people had their cameras off. Mm-hmm. That's how I knew that it was a lot of new people.
Oh, okay.
Because most people who come a lot don't turn their cameras off unless they're loud or busy. So I was looking at, there were like 4, and I would try to concentrate, but because you were a co-host as well, you were right next to my, so I would see you.
And oh, that's ghastly.
It was funny because like right now, all I see is your forehead. And when you were watching me, I could just see your cheek. It was just your profile. And I saw you smile several times, a lot of smiles and some nodding. And then than eyebrows raised if I changed a word turn. It was kind of fascinating, quite honestly.
I was trying to give a different view. I had the tree in the background.
Yep.
No one could appreciate my tree.
I was hoping you were going to do it for this.
I don't think the audio is as good for the podcast on the iPad. So that's why I'm here in the blue room.
In the blue room with your swimmers.
Yeah.
What else happened? Oh, today.
Yes.
Neil Gaiman. Okay. So here's what
happened. My God, that was amazing.
It was amazing. And I know why it happened. It was because, okay, so I have it set up that and Amy Miller helped me do this, deletes all my tweets, which means that every 35 days, all of my tweets just go away. And,
do you save them for?
No. I'm not doing what you're doing. I'm not writing jokes, right?
Okay.
I'm mostly just angry, which I don't want to see in perpetuity, and promoting things, which no one needs to see in perpetuity because they're over.
Yes.
And then, but the only thing that I have to rebuild every 35 days is the pinned tweet. And the pinned tweet is in COVID has been my Horcrux DVD, the video for This Will Make an Excellent Horcrux. Mm-hmm. That's the pinned tweet. And then underneath it are clips from it and from a bunch of other things of just stand up. Well, I noticed that the pin that it had wiped everything out, and Carmen had captioned a new clip for me. Mm-hmm. So I just put that up, and it was just a minute too of the beginning of my NPR Live From Here set. And
you have a videotape of that. I don't think I have videotape on mine.
You should check, because I didn't know they were videotaping it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's on their website, and people have the technology to get it off the YouTube.
Okay.
So, but it isn't captioned. So, and it's too long to put just on Twitter. So, anyway, Kathleen Madigan retweeted it, like quote tweeted it. And that was very nice. And I got 100 new followers.
Nice. And then how many followers does she have?
I don't know.
Okay. Never mind.
Kyle might know if he,
I assume
to look up
lots.
I assume lots.
Look
yeah.
up and get a hard number.
And then, Patton Oswalt.
Now you're talking.
Right. He quote tweeted it with some cryptic comment about me getting shit for being a nerd, when quite honestly, and let us knock on wood, absolutely very little trolling happening over here. Almost no one gives it. It's nice to, you know, as Mary or Pippin said in The Lord of the Rings, it's nice to be overlooked sometimes. And the trolls have overlooked me, and I appreciate that.
Yeah, me too. I don't get trolled too much.
Yeah, it's nice. Mm-hmm. And but he quote tweeted it, and so I get another 100 followers.
Wow.
And then Neil Gaiman sees it because he follows Patton,
the author. Yes.
Yeah, Neil Gaiman, the author. The author of so many things.
Name one right now.
Sandman.
Okay.
And the Coraline was the animated movie.
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah, that was him. Yeah. Sandman is his sort of famous, his sort of opus. But okay. He also wrote with Terry Pratchett, Good Omens. Did you watch that on Prime?
Yeah. No. Mm-mm.
Oh, as a lapsed Catholic, can I recommend?
Yes.
Good Omens.
Absolutely.
Well, now that he's on Team Jacket, I will watch it.
Yeah.
But only because out of jealousy. But still, it's a rating is a rating.
And he lives in Wisconsin. And it was just,
he's married to Amanda Palmer, but I think they're going through a bad divorce.
I heard that there was trouble. I don't know. I think I heard it on Twitter.
Don't look into it. Once one of them's your fan, you just back away. You accept the fanship and you don't look into their private lives.
That's it. And I will say he lives in Wisconsin. He's British, but he's lived in Wisconsin for 20 years. Mm-hmm. But he lives northwest, kind of by toward Minneapolis, or by La Crosse, I think. And like he wrote American Gods, which is set in Wisconsin, a part of it, at the House on the Rock, which Lori back in the 80s, a lot of jokes being done about the House on the Rock. That's because it's not anything. It's just a house on a sort of a hill, except for because Wisconsin
is famous, though, because it has a name.
It has a name, and it's House on the Rock, 15 miles. House on the Rock, mile and a half. I mean, it's it's just a thing. But Neil Gaiman put it in this book. And I'm a huge fan of Neil Gaiman. And the fact that he quote tweeted me and told a story, because the joke.
That was cool.
What a great story. He had someone save him after kind of running his car off the road.
Yeah.
And two people in snowmobiles picked him up in rural Wisconsin and took him home.
Yeah, it's great. And
that bit is so funny because it's from the 90s.
Right? Is it really? Yeah, I don't think I had heard it before.
Yeah, and because
but they loved it.
They loved it. And it was because it's a Minnesota joke. It's literally, it's one of Maria Bamford's favorite jokes of mine. So weird. But that's why I did, because I called her the day I was doing live from here, and they just said it had to be, you know, NPR clean. But they didn't care.
Yeah.
They knew that I was a grown-up person who would just do a 7-minute, 10-minute set or whatever.
Yeah.
And I was talking to Maria about something else, and I was like, maybe I'll do the snowmobile bit because we're in Minnesota. And she was like, totally do the snowmobile. And so we dusted that old chestnut off. But it was so cool that he quote tweeted me and I got 200 more followers.
Oh, that's nice.
So Kyle looked up Kathleen. She has 118,900.
Very respectable.
Very much so.
So the pool, I have pool news. Yeah. So now it's like 45 minute slots.
Uh-huh.
So I've been doing the thing, not every day, but where I'll do my 45 minutes and then I get out and I run over to the standby line and I wait 20 more minutes to see if someone doesn't show up for the next slot. And then I sneak in and get another swim in. Because I can't do my workout in 45 minutes. It takes 1.05 hours. So what I try to do, like yesterday, I did a workout and a half. And then today I did a half. And so, you know, it adds up okay. And then my brain lets me fall asleep. Otherwise, I'm like, I did it. It doesn't count. I didn't do enough yards. Like I need to hit a number so that I can just relax and be satisfied.
Have you always done that number laps? Is that always
been? Once I got back into swimming, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And how many times has the getting back in line for the dropouts worked?
Both times. I mean, one time yesterday I felt guilty because there was like two people behind me that obviously hadn't swum at all that day.
Oh.
But you know what? Sorry, fuckers. I was there first.
Yeah, you
gotta plan your shit out. So yeah, and there was only one spot.
And do you use the whole 40? Do you use the whole second 45, or do you just do the?
I try to anticipate tomorrow's, the next day's, not enough workout. Yes. There's no way. Cause I'm not fast, you know, and I like to do kicking. I like to do slower things anyway. So, I'm not going to do like a straight 3000, you know, I like to split it up in a little kicking sets and stuff like that.
Is it an indoor pool?
No, it's outdoor.
It's an outdoor pool. Is it heated?
Of course it's heated, Jackie. Yes.
These are obvious things, possibly to swimmers. over here, I am like, because is your pool at your house heated? I know it's not the right square, but.
No, it's not. It's not. It's well, it's a rectangle, not a square. No one would swim in a square pool. And no, it's not heated and it's full of leaves. It's a fucking pond right now. It's gross.
Oh, well, obviously work must be done.
No, the lap pool and all lap pools that are open are outdoor. You can't swim in an indoor pool now because there's no place for COVID to go. Outdoors, COVID's hitting the road, comes out of your mouth,
chlorine
goes away, lands in the chlorine. Yeah, you're good. You're good.
Good. Good to hear it. I've been going for a walk like three times a week, like a 3-mile walk.
That's great.
That is great. If I go the big, here's where it fails.
Yeah.
If I go the big walk, I take myself to Dunkin' Donuts.
And get a bottle of water, right?
Well, I get a coffee. I get the cold brew.
Yeah.
But once a week I'll get a donut. And
you gotta treat yourself. We're in lockdown. This shit's hard.
This shit is hard.
You know,
it's been a pretty good week, though. I'll have to say that I went into March and I was freaked out about not going on the road. And then I found sort of a sweet spot of acceptance, Lori.
Right.
I found some acceptance. And then we got closer to me actually going on the road, this December date. And I'm like, yes, yes, yes. And then I got the big disappointment and I probably spent good 4 or 5 days in the dumps.
Of course.
Disappointed. And I am coming out of it back into acceptance that this is where we're at. This is what we're doing. Mm-hmm. And it helps to have a lot of people do guest sets, especially if I mix them up. You know, I had not seen Deborah DiGiovanni in a while. And,
yeah.
And it was fun to see Judah and then Christine and Josh.
Yeah.
Just getting in some of the normal comics trying to get some work-ins, you know?
Yeah.
And super fun. And so that helps my attitude is to just sort of, because it kind of feels like hanging out with comics.
Yeah.
The Zoom.
Yeah, for sure. This has been a hard couple weeks emotionally for me, you know?
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's
And Christmas coming without your mom. That's ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a drag, so, man. It's,
I mean, I'm like, oh, I have a job. I'm really lucky, you know, like I am. And the things I'm worrying about are, not the basics. It's not food and shelter and, you know, but, there's still, it's still having stand up taken away from you, you know, no matter who you are, it's really fucking hard, you know.
Yeah.
Zoom is fine. It's not good enough. And, you know, I got a lot of self-esteem from stand up, right? Mm-hmm. As we all do, most of us, some of us lose self-esteem from stand up, but
some of us create false self-esteem. Wait a minute.
A little too much self-esteem.
You're not that great. Knock it off.
What? Yeah. So, yeah. So you know, and then there's like the you know, not knowing what's coming down the line, which again, everyone else is in a very similar boat.
Yeah.
So I can't even complain there, but it's weird. Like, I think everyone has like shares a similar depression because of the pandemic. And then we all have our own little extra, you know, rivers and tributaries that go different places for each of us that pile on to the general common depression.
Yeah. Yeah. It can for sure. And I just, mm-hmm. you know, I spend a fair amount of my time, you know, giving myself a pep talk and trying to, you know, give pep talks to other people. My mother-in-law was very certain she has COVID. I'm very certain she has a cold. I'm really hoping she doesn't, obviously. Mm-hmm. And so she went for a test last Thursday and has not yet gotten the results.
What the fuck?
Yeah. She lives up in
Tulare. Does she have a, Tulare. What?
She lives in Tulare County.
Does she have a pulse oximeter?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so are those levels
her
okay?
Oxygen levels are fine.
Okay.
There's a little bit of a fever and she has a little bit of a scratchy throat, but
what about smell and taste?
Smell and taste is okay.
It seems like she doesn't have it then.
Right. I don't think she has it. I think she's just worried like all of us that everything,
sure.
that we all have it. And, we're trying to figure out, cause we've been going there once a week. And so she's in our pod. Mm-hmm. But when she thought she had COVID, we didn't go in.
Right.
We're like, we're going to bring to, you know, and she likes Taco Bell. I don't know what your guilty pleasure of a fast food is, but mine is not squeezy food. It is
it's
never
gross.
Food.
Yeah.
Gross.
Yeah.
And But we had Taco Bell because she has a cold. And, you know, whoever has the cold gets the food of their
choice. Gets to pick the drive-thru. Yeah. And, I called my mom's best friend. She's 85, right?
Yeah.
She knew my mom almost as long as my dad knew my mom.
Oh, wow.
They met in Tehran when it was, they were all work. The husbands were working on a dam called the Karaj Dam in Tehran. So they were all living in the American compound. So she's known my mom before I was born.
How long were your parents married before they went to Tehran?
Almost instantly they went. It was very soon after he got the job there. Yeah. So, she's devastated by the loss of my mom. Her son passed away a couple of years ago. So she's had hits, you know, mm-hmm. other things in the family. She's one of those people that is very resilient, but she's like, and she used to throw these amazing Christmas parties. She's a party thrower, right?
Okay.
Amazing. Just beautiful. Right. Like you walk into the house, Christmas decorations, like a store's worth of Christmas, right? One of those people.
Yeah.
That I can't conceive of it. So, you know, this has been super hard on her and super hard on people like this, mm-hmm. party givers.
Yep.
So she's like, I'm just going to have a little dinner with five people. I'm like, no, Mrs. Kelly, don't, you can't.
Which,
you can't.
Not five people that she's been living with?
No.
Five of her loved ones?
Like, that's how these things are spreading, you know?
You know, I talked to my dad and my dad told me he went to the Indian casino. My dad, has a gambling problem. And I was like, did you go to, he's like, I didn't go to gamble. And I said, no, did you go to get COVID? Why'd you go? And, and he was like, they were cleaning everything all around. And I said, does it at least have vaulted ceilings? I've never been there. Right.
Yeah.
But a lot of those casinos do have vaulted ceilings, which helps disperse a lot
of them. It's better. Yes. Yeah.
And he said they were constantly like, you know, spraying stuff down and everything.
But it's in the fucking air. Well, everyone stop worrying about spraying shit down. It's in the fucking air. It's in the oxygen you inhale.
But I do like the idea of us washing our hands more often.
Yes, that's fine. That's fine.
I'm into it. Hey, let's take another break before we, I think that was a good chunk.
Congratulations. You've won a ticket to attend an exclusive opportunity in a relaxing environment with two lovers.
Wow. Well, this sounds like a sort of proposition of sorts, but really it's an ad for our podcast. Wonderful. It's a show we do here on Maximum Fun where we talk about things that we like and things that we're into.
I'm Rachel McElroy, and you just heard Griffin McElroy, and we are excited for you to join us as we talk about movies and music and books.
Things like sneezing or the idea of rain.
Can you get news or information you can use?
Absolutely, you cannot, because we're here to talk to you about Pumpernickel Bread.
You can find new episodes on Wednesdays.
So catch the wave.
And
we back?
Yes.
We're back.
Well, I don't know. I talked to her. And one of the people is attending a funeral this weekend. So 2 weeks later, she's going to be at this dinner. I'm like, you got to please make her at least take a COVID test sometime next week, because it will have probably shown up by then if she's got it.
Right. She'll, you know, also
consider making people wear masks at the dinner, please.
How was that received?
Not well.
Okay.
Just it was like the, I'll think about it, but you're there. She's thinking about hanging up.
That's what she's really thinking about.
Yes.
She's thinking about calling it.
So my son and I did a little, I want to do like, I thought it'd be fun if we did like a little YouTube show where we talked about anime, but he doesn't want to be on screen with me, which I think is also very healthy. So,
well, it's super teenagery.
Yes.
Whatever.
So we did an audio version. We just did like a podcast, and I put it up on YouTube with a picture from Attack on Titan. And you can't comment. It's really probably the worst contribution to the internet ever. But
do you think does he want to do the Dork Forest? Does he want to do an anime episode of the Dork Forest?
Oh, I'll ask him. Interesting.
Where he would get to talk. He would get to talk about whatever he could tell me about his favorite ones for an hour.
Oh my God. I'll pitch
but not for more than an hour. I don't know.
A two-parter, special two-parter, Jackie.
Oh, my God. Gary Peterson did the year two of the Revolutionary War. He's been on once.
Year two?
Yeah, because he said, I could talk about the Revolutionary War because I used to, he's got a lot of, so he was on, and I just was looking for it 2 years ago. He was on, and he didn't even get to, he got to shots fired. He got to shots fired at Concord and Lexington.
Wow.
At the end of the first episode. So this one was from Concord and Lexington to the Declaration.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, so he has to be on for seven more years. Seven
oh
more
my God.
Times. I'm thinking of having Gary Peterson on every 4th of July for the next
That's
seven
a great idea. Wow.
But he has a new album out. Bunch of people got albums out.
Yeah.
I got a text from Dan Dion from 800 Pound Gorilla asking me if I'd rescheduled my at 11 o'clock at night, by the way. I got a text from
like him. One vaccine article came out and Dan's texting you at midnight.
Right, I was like, I haven't, I talked to Acme briefly this weekend, and I texted Lewis about a show about Chinese food.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a really beautiful, like the cinematographer on this thing, it's called Flavorful Origins.
Oh, I thought you wanted to do, never mind. So it's a TV show about Chinese food.
Yeah. And it's so beautifully shot. And they're 10-minute documentaries about the different food in China. Andy thinks it was created by the Chinese government to encourage tourism within China. But it's narrated, and each one is like 10 or 11 minutes.
What's it called?
Flavorful Origins, and it's so beautifully shot. It's ridiculous.
Wow.
So anyway, and it's a nice thing to watch before you go to bed because it isn't a nightmare. It's just people making noodles. And
I'm watching 30 Rock.
Nice.
Halfway through 30. It's so funny.
How's Judah Friedlander?
Oh my God, I know. It's so weird to see him tonight. Yeah, he's great. He's hilarious. It's just so great. And there's stuff they definitely would not be able to do now. But, you know, it's funny. It's a comedy, such a time capsule, you know?
Yeah.
Not every joke is like, oh, I don't know if we'd be able to do that now. But there's some where you're just like, oh, you know, probably not now, you know?
Yeah. Even or they'd funny. Have to, they might have to rewrite them.
Yeah, just tweak it or something. I don't know.
I'll say, I watched 30 Rock was the last sitcom that I actually watched in real time.
Oh, really? Yeah.
I think so.
Same here.
Yeah. And I never saw the end of it.
Same here.
I weeded off at some point.
Yeah. Same. I think viewers did as well. And but it's too bad because it's great, you know. But I don't know what happened. Maybe Netflix started happening and started pulling people away from television. And it's so many of the jokes. I remember Dan Cronin, one of the Conan writers, said she's writing jokes for me and two of my friends only. Like they're so specific to comedy and comedy writing and TV. I remember she had a joke about Barham. I'm like, why? Don't do that. Why are you doing jokes about Barham Boulevard for the rest of the country? You're going to get canceled.
Yeah. Little Shop of Horrors, though, has that whole reference to Glendale and Burbank.
Oh, really?
That I've always been like, what are they doing? That like, I remember the first time I saw it, it didn't make any sense.
Yeah.
But it's the one quote from Little Shop of Horrors Andy quotes all the time. But that's because he's lived here since the 80s.
Yeah.
And so he thinks it's hilarious. Did you ever see the interview with Tina? I call her Tina. Yeah, Tina Fey. Where she was talking about how she was psyched that it wins, that it won Emmys, and it was psyched that it was this cult, you know, hit.
Yeah.
She said, but we were literally trying to make friends.
I just watched, the WGA had a thing that, do you watch Dead to Me?
No.
Oh, it's on Netflix. It's great. And Liz Feldman is the executive producer, showrunner, writer, all that stuff. And I met her at Aspen many, many years ago. And she wrote for Ellen for a while, and then she had a show, I think, called The Big Happy on network television. And then, so this is her second show. Christine Applegate's in it. It's great. It's really, really great. So they had I thought it was like going to be a Q&A, but it was just somebody else interviewing her. But we rewatched an episode, and it's just so fucking funny. It's a really good show. I recommend it. Very bingeable.
Okay, that's cool. And I have to say that that I was going to say about 30 Rock is that it's proof that you can only write what you write. You know,
yeah.
Like if you're trying to be, you know, a clean comic or a corporate, you know, or edgy. That's even worse. That's even more painful.
Yeah.
Like if you're trying to, you can't create that if that isn't, you know, how you.
That's not you, right? Yeah. That's not what you find funny. You know,
my brother Russ insisted that I watch this Tom Hanks movie called A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood.
Mm. Oh, that's Emily Heller's sister directed that.
It is amazing. Hi, Emily, your sister. She's finally been waiting for my bump.
Did you watch The Queen's Gambit?
No, I haven't.
Her sister plays the mother on The Queen's Gambit. She's
that's
great.
Cool. That's great.
I love giving you homework assignments you won't complete. Go ahead.
Get a paper on your desk, 1,200 words. But the crazy thing is it's my brother Russ's current favorite movie, A Beautiful Day. And it's $12 to rent it on Amazon Prime. Uh-huh. And it's $12 to buy the Blu-ray. And so I currently own the Blu-ray. And it is, but it's so interesting because it's mystical realism. First of all, I thought it was going to be about Mr. Rogers because I watched the documentary.
Yeah.
It wasn't. It was about the Esquire writer, a fictionalized account of the Esquire writer's interviewing Mr. Rogers and dealing with his family issues. There's all this mystical realism because of the set design was amazing.
Yeah.
And, and the guy who is the dad is so clearly my dad. And that's why my brother was like, you got to see this because this is about forgiving our dad. And I was like, yes, no one would be more surprised that he needs forgiveness. But Elliot Cash.
We're done.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.